talk today is about rings. Do you know what shape rings are in? What's the shape of a ring? Do you know? Does anybody know? I think you know what the shape of a ring is, don't you? Yes?
It's a circle.
It's a circle. Did you notice that reading, that beautiful reading that said, the Lord sits upon the circle of the earth? A circle is a wonderful shape. And one of the wonderful things about a circle is it can hold things together. And when they built the ark, a beautiful ark that was made out of shittim wood, which is a kind of cedar wood, sort of like the cedar in the temple, they overlaid it with gold, but they needed to move the ark, didn't they? And the ark was too holy to touch. So how did they move the ark? Do you remember? They used poles, didn't they? They needed poles to carry the ark from place to place so they didn't have to touch the ark, but that they could carry the ark. These poles were very important. But how did they hook the poles to the ark? Do you remember? Remember what they put on the ark? They actually says they fused them there. They cast them or fused them onto the ark. Do you remember what they were? There was four of them. And it's interesting how they talk about the ribs. Instead of saying sides, they say the ribs of the ark. And there was these four rings at the four corners of the ark that were fused into the gold of the ark and into the rim so that then they could then take the poles that were also made of shittim wood that were also covered with gold, and they could put the poles into these rings. Now, when they put them in, did you notice it said they never took them out again? Now, there's a beautiful passage in the Heavenly Doctrine which talks about the construction of the ark. You heard that part about the heart and lungs, right? The heart, it was like a rib, and it says it's like the chest, like our chest and a chest. The ark was a chest, right? And which was the Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments were like the heart and lungs. The commandment, the table of the Lord and the table of man. The two great commandments were like those. And so they're like the heart and lungs inside the chest. Now, you have a heart and lungs in your body. And because of that, you can do things, right? But could you do anything if you didn't have arms and legs? Well, it would be very difficult to help people. You might love them, and with a head you might think about them, but you wouldn't be able to help them unless you had arms and legs. And the Heavenly Doctrine says that the poles, which represented divine power, were like the arms on top of the chest. And they were hooked, like the rings we have in our shoulders, it says. Just like the ring, the cups that we have in our shoulders, they held the arms on so that they could do what they needed to do. And it was very, very important that these poles were never taken off the ark because the power always had to be there. They had to be able to move the ark through the wilderness to go where they were going so that they didn't leave the Lord behind, right? Because the ark was where the Ten Commandments were, and that was their center of worship. And so they needed poles. In the same way, we need arms and legs to move us to go where we need to go, and we need our arms and our hands to do what we need to do. That is so important. But getting back to the shape of the rings, it says it's a circle. And if you listen carefully about the circle of things, the Heavenly Doctrine talks a lot about the circle of things. In one place, it talks about the circle of light, which is the circle the earth makes when it spins around and we get day and night. And it talks about the circle of heat, when the earth goes around the sun and makes a circle. And that gives us a circle of things, where we go from winter to spring to summer to fall. That circle of things is really a spiritual circle. And the circle of things is like the winter first, when we see the light, but we haven't done anything with it. It's a time of thinking about it, a time of learning it and memorizing it and understanding it. And then the heat comes in the circle of things, and we start to actually want to do it. And so it's first, it's faith. Faith in the understanding. We learn what the Lord wants. We think about it. And then we decide we should obey it. And the faith then moves into the will. And when it moves into the will, that's where the love comes. And when that love is there for those things that we learn to do from the Lord, Is the circle complete? If you go from winter through spring to summer, is the circle complete? What's missing in the circle? The time of fall, when all the fruits and all the vegetables and all the produce is made. In other words, it's not enough just to know about the Lord and think about him, and even not enough to just love the Lord, because you need to do something about it. And so you get the circle of things. It raises you up. Remember the angels that went up the steps and then down the steps again? That's the circle of things. It raises you up. So first you learn about it, then you say, I better obey it, then you begin to love it, and then finally you do it. And that's the circle. And that's why rings are shaped like circles. Now, in the case of the ark, it represents love to the Lord and knowing about the Lord in the center of the ark. But if the Lord's going to be conjoined to us, we need that circle. He not only has to teach us, and we not only have to be lifted up and love him, but then we have to obey him and do what he says and bring that into as much of our life as we can. And it's a continuous circle. We learn something. We decide we should do it. We start loving it. And then we finally do it. And as we do it, we learn more. And as we learn more, we think about it. It raises us up again. And we constantly have this wonderful circle. Now, in the reading, there was something else mentioned about circles, actually rings. Do you remember when they had won the battle? What did the soldiers and the captains of hundreds and captains of thousands give to the Lord in thanks? Not one man was missing in the battle. So they wanted to give the Lord an offering. Do you remember what the offering was? It was a beautiful offering. And listen to each one of these gifts, and you'll see that there's something similar in each of the gifts. It says, and we have an offering, have offered an offering of to Yahuwah, each what he found, vessels of gold. So they're all made of gold. And it says, an armband, which goes around the arm like that, and a bracelet, which goes around the wrist, and a ring, which goes on your finger like a ring, and earrings that go through there, and it says, and a band to make atonement for our souls before Yahuwah. What do all those different ornaments have in common? Yes?
They were circles.
They were circles, weren't they? Circles are wonderful things. They hold things together. But what's interesting about these ornaments, and it was like the crowns, remember? The 24 elders were around the Lord in a circle, weren't they? But they also had circles on their head, didn't they? That circle held their minds to thinking about the Lord, even to the point where they cast those circles down before the Lord to show that this comes from the Lord. It held their minds. They represented people who understand the elders and how they were understanding from the Lord. That's why a king wears a crown, which circles his head to represent something. It's called the word, it's a very special word, it's called conjunction. And another word for it is called marriage. And it holds things together. Now think about a marriage. It's a beautiful marriage in heaven. And the husband and the wife, before they get married, they're about to be married. It says they walk down together. And as they walk down, it says they sat down on a seat, the bridegroom on the left and the bride on his right, while the six virgins stood at the side of the seat next to the bride. And then listen what happens. It says, and when they were seated, the bridegroom turned to the bride and placed on her finger a gold ring. And then he drew forth bracelets and a necklace of large pearls. And he fastened the bracelets upon her wrists and the necklace around her neck. And he said, accept these pledges. And as she took them, he kissed her and said, now thou art mine. And he called her his wife. And the guests then cried out, first each separately, and then all together, let there be a blessing. That's a beautiful, beautiful story. What did the bridegroom give to the bride? Remember, there was three gifts. Remember? He gave her a ring that went around her finger. And he gave her two bracelets that went around both her wrists. And he gave her a necklace that went around her neck. They were circles, weren't they? Now, it's interesting about these circles that he gave her. It's very much like those circles around the ark. Now, when they were attached to the ark, they actually were physically attached, right? And the poles went through the ark, and so when you lifted the poles, you lifted the ark. What about a wedding ring? It's attached to the husband and wife's finger, isn't it? But what does it hold you to? What's the bond of this ring? It's a circle, isn't it? Do you remember the circle about the heart and lungs? What do we call the circle between the heart and lungs? That wonderful conjunction, that marriage between the two. We call it circulation. For the very word that the blood forms a circle, coming from the heart into the lungs, from the lungs back to the heart, then into the body, then back to the heart, and so on. That marriage of the heart and lungs is like the marriage of a husband and wife. It's the circle that binds them. And although a wedding ring may only be attached to the finger on which it is physically, it's also attached to the husband or wife from two most important things, love and thought. And the reason it's on the finger is because the hands do things. And that means they not only love each other and think about each other, but they also do things for each other. And it brings it into life. And so they have this wonderful thing where they think about the other person. That brings up their love. And then they say, now what can I do for the other person? To do them every good is what the heavenly doctrine calls it. And so you have this wonderful circle or circulation going back and forth of love and wisdom that binds them together. And that's why it was why it's so important that these things that hold the rods onto the ark, and they also held rods onto the table of showbread. They held the rods, they were circles again, on the altar of incense. And then on the brazen altar, which was the altar of burnt offering, they also had four rings. They were of bronze. Those rings were very important so that these things of worship and the Lord could move along with them, so that they could be in their lives. And they all held rods or poles so that they could do it. Just like we have arms and legs so we can go places and do things for other people. And they're held together by circles. But the most important circle of all is that circle of love that comes forth from the Lord, gives us his truth, lifts up our mind, gives us the love inside our heart so we can bring it back down again and bring the Lord's love to other people as well.